This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
American consumers managing their personal finances in the age of COVID. How are they doing it? I'm talking today with financial author, radio host, national columnist, and television personality Peter Dunn, known as Pete the Planner, author of 60 Days to Change, a daily how-to guide with actionable tips for improving your financial life, and founder of Advanced Planning Solutions, a financial education firm. Pete hosts a finance radio program on Radio 93 WIBC and regularly appears on the Fox Business News Network. Pete, welcome.
Hey, Mike. It's good to be with you.
Thanks so much. How are our fellow Americans coping with their finances since COVID started hitting us early last year?
Well, this won't surprise you, but different groups are handling it differently. There's three groups of Americans now as it relates to our finances, and COVID did that to us. But I have to admit, prior to 2020, there were only two groups of Americans, and those two groups of Americans were distinguished by their wages. If a person made below living wage, which is a pretty standard calculation, if you made below living wage, you had one reality. If you made above living wage, well, you had a completely different reality. Well, once COVID hit, that completely changed. Now, the three groups are this: 25 to 30% of Americans who have been financially impacted by COVID-19 in a major way. That's to say they've lost hours, they've lost wages, they've lost jobs altogether. The second group of people, 55 to 60% of us, haven't necessarily been severely impacted financially by COVID-19, but we don't have a great deal of financial stability. I did the math for you because, you know, who knows if you're out of math at this point in the week, but I almost am, but I'll do it for you anyway. That leaves 10%. 10% of Americans have not been financially impacted by COVID-19, and Mike, they are stable, so they could probably deal with whatever's next.
Do you find that different parts of the country are being affected more than other parts? The comparing East Coast, Midwest, West Coast?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I'm going to armchair psychologist it here for a second. I think a lot of that has to do with whether kids are in school, very frankly. In the area of the country in which I live, which is the Midwest in Indiana, schools are open. Sure, my kids may go every other day on a hybrid model, but it's helped our economy continue. I'm not suggesting that's good or bad. I'm just saying that is reality. I think in some areas of the country, that hunker down, that kids still at home, parents still working at home, has made the economy more difficult and made the recovery more difficult as well.
Yeah, I'm finding here in Los Angeles, friends and colleagues that have grammar school children, they can't wait for them to go back to school. And at this point, they see it as a learning deficit now, and they are really looking forward to them being back in school on a regular basis. I hear that from them regularly, daily almost.
Happened to hear during our interview a sixth grader playing the violin. You'll quickly realize that this is the day that my daughter is home from school and she will be there tomorrow.
So the lessons are occurring over our recording time. That's great. Pete, what are some of the good financial practices and sound financial practices you think Americans should be following through this period, regardless of the three categories that you've identified, wherever they lie?
Yeah, so I'm not an I told you so guy. I'm not a regret guy, but I also am a person that believes a person should take a look at how they felt about money before all of this happened, and to encourage those people to ask themselves, why did they feel comfortable in the moment they were, right? That's to say, if they felt like their financial life was solid or fine or stable or however you want to say it, why did they really think that? And can they look back and now say, actually, maybe I felt stable, but quantitatively I wasn't. So Mike, that's to say, I think most Americans, and myself included, I've done this too, I have mistaken comfort for stability. I say things like, oh, well, hey, I can afford my house and my mortgage. We can go on vacation. We get to go out to eat. So, yeah, we're doing pretty well. That's not factually true. That just means that life is easy in the moment, easier, I should say. What I encourage people to do is to, you know, look at the 10 factors of financial stability, things that will actually give you quantitative signs. Like, metrically, you can see numbers that say, yeah, I'm not in the shape that I thought I was. I'm comfortable, but I'm not stable. I think that reality is a big part of this.
And as we move through this period, and as we all know, you know, we're well into over a year now with the pandemic, do you see this realization? Are you kind of witnessing this realization that, yeah, comfort doesn't necessarily mean stability, and it's kind of a wake-up call for a good number of us? Are you seeing that light bulb going off to caution us not to really equate the two as the same thing?
I think so. You know, there's something weird that people do around the turn of the year. They always, especially in 2020, they said, oh, I can't wait for 2020 to be over. I can't wait for the new year. And Mike, you and I are, I'll speak for you. You're an intelligent person. I can't say that about myself. I know you are. You know, the clock striking midnight does nothing. It doesn't change anyone's reality. However, I do feel like psychologically what people did in 2020 is they said, we're going to do our best to deal with whatever comes our way in a reactive way. But in 2021, I do feel like there's more of a proactive spirit where people are more willing to prepare themselves for the unknown to come. And I have to be honest with you. 11 months ago, 10 months ago, at the you know, one of the scary parts of this, March and April of 2020, I don't think people were preparing their finances for what was to come. I think people just tried to ignore the signs and say, yeah, it'll be okay. And clearly it wasn't.
I'm chatting with finance author Peter Dunn, Pete the Planner. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Pete, it appears that more folks in America are paying better attention into 2021 to their finances. And what are a few good financial practices that you could pass on to our listeners?
The bank statement, the old school printed out bank statement, the one they mail to you, or even just looking on your computer. You can learn a lot about your financial life by simply looking how your habits change over time. And, you know, Mike, I want people to go to January of 2020, and I want them to grab, you know, their restaurant spending, their grocery spending, you know, shopping spending. Take a look at those habits. Take a look at those behaviors. Then go to April of 2020, when we were all so scared we weren't spending any money. Then go to last month. Mike, what I think people will see is they possibly have held on to some of those new, better habits that are more resourceful. And if people found themselves going back to the old way of doing things, it's not too late to try to lock in some of those new behaviors before 2021 goes too far.
You know, we're seeing the unemployment rate hovering around 7%. It's dropping slowly. And with that, do you see that as an aid to personal finances, the family budget, slowly starting to improve?
I happen to believe in the K-shaped recovery. I happen to believe that a lot of Americans are getting back to how it used to be, but I still feel like there's some folks that will remain marginalized and continue to struggle. I'll say this, though. I'm very bullish about the economy. I think over the next 18 months, you could see one of the greatest economic booms of all time. And what will be interesting is, does that separate those two groups from each other even more? Or does that economic boom provide more opportunity for those still unemployed to only be 6 months or so behind everyone else?
Exactly. And I would imagine or deduce at this point with the pandemic, you know, here we are into this, you know, a solid year and a lot of pent up demand, a lot of purchases that have been deferred for at least a while. And as you're saying, anticipation that we're going to see some pretty aggressive increase in organic growth in the economy. Do you see part of this fuel outside of the stimulus packages, including the one that's on the launch pad right now, this pent-up demand driving the consumer and growth?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. I have a really strange view of this. First off, not only is this stimulus plan, the $1.9 trillion on the launch pad, like you said, but then there's this advanced child tax credit idea that could come to fruition this summer, which is essentially giving everybody an advance on that tax credit as opposed to settling up with them at tax time, which that means, Mike, a family of four with two kids under the age of six, if this family qualifies for the stimulus and that tax credit happens, they will receive $12,800 this year in stimulus, which is, I say it's crazy, but I don't mean that in a judgmental way. It's just, that's a lot of money to pump into the economy. So, A, I see that being significant. But then the weird thing is, if people get used to this new level of consumerism over the next 12 to 18 months, you could actually see personal finances suffer quite a bit at the end of that period as those stimulus dollars dry up.
Right. And with the current $1.9 trillion Biden stimulus package actually being going through the House as we are speaking right now, the votes are taking place, the last minute adjusting to provisions are being made. And, you know, with that, do you think we really need this one? Are we kind of headed for over-stimulus? Just your take on, yeah. do we really need this last one? You know, this will be the several in a succession from last year, but is it now too much possibly?
Yeah, so what's interesting is obviously the $1,400 stimulus payments is what gets all the attention. You know, that gets the media. It's what you and I have just been talking about. I think there are other elements of the bill which are more pragmatic in that the economy needs more than that provision, than the stimulus itself. So, no, I don't think it's too much. And I'm more concerned really about things like eviction moratoriums and how people get back on track with student loans. I think those are where you start to see the groups separate in that K-shaped recovery, because there's tens of millions of dollars in back rent due in this country, and it's terrifying, because not only for the people who face eviction, but let's be honest, I don't want the landlords to get stiffed either. So it's a really tenuous situation that the government hasn't quite figured out how to solve yet.
Yeah, and with that, as you just mentioned, these back rents that are due, and you know, yes, you know, we're seeing the economy slowly recovering with all the tools of the Fed and Congress and the efforts of private industry. Do you see any other potential additional shoes to drop, so to speak, that could affect us in the balance of this year? One being, you know, this avalanche of rents that are due.
Potentially. Something's going to have to be done there. You know, we were saying in our world last fall, even, that the biggest challenge to our economy is that. And the reason is because it takes a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of mom and pop landlords, and it just leaves them high and dry. Again, our job, Mike, is not to pick sides between the renters and the landlords. They both have very unique problems, and that's tough. I also think the student loan issue, there's a lot to be sorted out there still, right? I think there'll be $10,000 in student loan forgiveness, but I think so many people not paying their student loans for the last year and a half will create its own set of issues. So stay tuned for more on that.
Peter Dunn is my guest, and we're talking about managing personal finances during COVID. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Pete, going forward, what do Americans need to work on the most or improve the most in terms of their behavior in managing their personal finances? What would you say would be the most important thing going forward that would benefit them?
Well, obviously, people have had a lot of short-term stability issues this past year. And so, you know, naturally, you would think my answer would go that way. However, I'm going to take a different approach to this. The fundamental issue of American struggle is how they view stability in general. So that is to say, the hardest thing anyone will ever do financially is to retire successfully. It is an incredible challenge, especially without a pension. And so I think the first thing a person can do is try to right-size their retirement plan contribution, because if they don't, all of this struggle, all of this battle with consumerism and stability now will pale in comparison to the challenges they have when their income is shut off and they're not able to work. And so I don't mean to end up on a bad note here, but I just still think the heart of all of this is the retirement crisis.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, from my perspective, being a retirement investment advisor specialist, and yeah, I know the numbers nationally for those people of working age and those that are in position to be able to retire, those that are not or are on track not to be prepared. Granted, compared to other nations, our numbers are pretty good. But in and of ourselves here in the U.S., there's a lot of work. And as you can imagine, we both face this question with clients and colleagues every day and companies that retain our services. But you know, I think, you know, we're heading in the right direction, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done to increase the percentage that will be in a position to actually be able to retire. Just to get your take, when do you think we'll be out of the COVID period?
I'll speak from an economic standpoint, not a medical standpoint, because I have no expertise there. I think the recession ends in the second quarter of 2021, which would make it, that's probably going to be a 14 to 15 month recession. The average recession in the United States is 11 months. The Great Recession of 2008 and 2009 actually started in 2007, so it was a much longer recession. But I don't know. I think in terms of business travel, which I think is a good barometer of what's happening, I think you could see that return late fall. And hopefully we're back. My fingers are crossed the whole time I'm saying this, by the way, Mike, because I'm just so hopeful for that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, just to share kind of a consensus with from the medical standpoint with physicians that I work for and with, and taking an informal survey from them, comments that telling me, Mike, yeah, about a third of the U.S. public has now had COVID to some degree, and with the pace of the distribution and effectiveness of the vaccines, kind of the consensus that I'm picking up from them is getting back to near normalcy, what we would normally do in our daily lives and our schedules, that window being about April, May. So I was kind of surprised that was that soon, but as I said, I've been taking a straw poll from a number of doctors here in Southern California. So that's their take to blend in with the financial timetable. Pete, this has been wonderful having you here, sharing your knowledge and your expertise. And what's the best way for listeners to contact you, to access, find, and purchase your books, material, and services?
The best place to go is petetheplanner.com.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Pete. You're doing a great job guiding American consumers, and we hope to have you back in the future, and have a great day. Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer, I'm Ike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to the Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on the Anderson Files.